The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the Pharisees gathered to Jesus, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders, and when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. You're wondering if I'm going to jump up on a chair or anything like that. I've gotten animated this summer, haven't I?
Yeah, that's good.
It's when you get stirred by mortgage lenders and things like that, you get fired up. Who of you likes to eat? Well, you have to eat, but who likes to eat? Maybe I will stand on a chair. Woo-hoo! And of course, we have our lovely fellowship afterwards and enjoy that time together. I think a lot of us, most of us, let me see again. Yeah, most of us. A couple of you don't like to eat, which I don't understand. But we like to eat. Maybe I've asked you that before. But we also like feasts, don't we? When you have a big Thanksgiving feast or big family dinner, a big Easter dinner or something like that, and some of you have hosted beautiful parties, and we were at a beautiful party last night where there were linens. Couldn't even believe it. Didn't even know how to react. And when there's more than one or two forks, it's confusing. But that's the tradition. We have 7 forks and 14 knives and a couple of spoons and one up here and another one up there. And you can't even reach all the tools. And you have all these beautiful things all lined up for tradition. And each person has 17 tools and each person. And it's a beautiful tradition. And sometimes in that tradition, everyone has to stand around the table, say a prayer or something, grace, whatever you call it in your family. And maybe you hold hands. There's all these different things. You wait, you stand there before you sit down. And all these beautiful traditions, right? And then you bring out all the traditional food. I won't even talk about that because then we'll get all hungry. But maybe I will for a minute. We have our beautiful turkey and our stuffing and gravy and cranberry sauce, and this is Thanksgiving I'm talking about. Maybe if you're thinking about a barbecue, you probably don't have the 17 pieces of silverware in that circumstance. But you still have traditions. You gotta have your ketchup and mustard or something like that. Some of you have different traditions on your hot dogs. That's another story altogether. But we like to go to these feasts, don't we? And we sit down and have good community together. and everybody's all dressed up and looking their best. Except for my, I won't say favorite, but my favorite brother-in-law, Tommy. We call him Uncle Tommy. Tommy the Bull. Except for Tommy the Bull. He comes in to traditional dinner and just sits down like, he's Tommy the Bull. And he doesn't wash his hands. And he's a landscaper. And I don't know how you feel about that. Mama Durr, not so good. Not so good. But he comes and he's excited and wants to be a part of the family tradition and enjoys the time together and enjoys the meal fully with less than the 17 utensils because they don't mean anything to him. It's hands-on, and he hasn't washed his hands. Of course, then, Tommy, he likes to do the bro hug, so we hug and do the bro hug and shake hands and all that, and now I have not washed my hand. So I got to think about that through my dinner with the 17 utensils, and now I'm doing it left-handed because I got a dirty hand. Many of us get caught up in tradition. Now, I'm not saying to wash your hands is a bad tradition, because I think it's wise, I think it's good, I think it's sanitary, and all these kind of things. But we see in the passage today that rules of men have gotten in the place of the excitement of the meal. And so I'm going to suggest to you that we should come to the meal like Tommy the Bull. We should come excited. And if our hands are a little dirty, little dirt never hurt. But we should come excited for the meal, ready to enjoy one another's company as we partake of the meal of communion together. Because it's a togetherness situation. And it's a beautiful meal that we get to partake of. So, you'll see the elders and the people do a little bit of hand sanitizing beforehand. We do want it to be a sanitary process. But as you come in your dirt. Come to the table excited and saying, man, I want to have this food. I want to have this fellowship one with another. I need it. And I need it quick. Come in haste. All right, so we see in the passage that Jesus is saying, well, you Pharisees and leaders of the Jewish community, you're all worked up about this unclean hands thing. And so Jesus replies, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And here, this is verse 8 in Mark 7. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. You're more worried about the traditions than about honoring your Lord and coming in haste and saying, Lord, give me this good meal. I need it. I need it now because I am dirty. And so they're getting more worked up about how you hold your hands and how you have your gown all lined up and how you genuflect and do all these various things. They're more concerned about their tradition than the Savior. They're more concerned about cleanliness than pure cleanliness that they receive in that meal from Jesus. So I wonder sometimes if we have traditions that kind of take over our thinking as it relates to our worship. Do we get so tied up, in some churches they do, that we have to do it a certain way and have the prayers a certain way and the pastor needs to be so pious and say his words like this and things like that. Or we have to have an organ. Or some will say we have to have a band. A lot of people get tied up on all these little things, the traditions of men. And that's in our spiritual life, our church life, where we're supposed to say, I just want to come and feast upon the Lord. The other side of that coin is to ask ourselves, do we get tied up in traditions of men as we live out our daily lives? I'll ask you. Do we get tied up in the traditions of men as we live our daily lives? I see a couple of people nodding their heads. What are some traditions of men that we get tied up in our daily lives that maybe doesn't honor the Lord as best we could? This isn't the confession time. We did that earlier.
Football.
That's a good one. Yeah, we're about to line up for the season of 4 months without Jesus. Because we got to get back to the football game at noon. Is it noon here? Or is it early? Oh, it's one. Okay. In Chicagoland, it's at noon, so you really see people rushing out the door. Football, yeah. What else?
Politics.
Politics? Explain. Okay, that's true. That's true. Yeah, politics can get in the way of our coming to the feast. You mentioned football. I think of El football, soccer, and not just soccer, but the things that families do, that they get so tied up in all these things. And this is not to preach about this, but to say that a lot of little things get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. And there's no sacred day left anymore, is there? We've got soccer practice on Sunday morning, or a soccer game on Sunday morning. Yeah, the heck with church. A lot of things get in the way. Traditions of men get in the way of our relationship and our time with the Lord. And so Jesus is saying, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Jesus is saying that what matters is to come. To come and to eat, to come and to feast, to receive Him, to be changed, to be cleansed. Because we do need a cleansing. If we look at the next part of the passage in Mark 7, it's next week's reading. But it says, Jesus went on. He said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. This is verse 20. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. Any of you have evil thoughts lately? You talked about politics. Out of men's heart comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder. Any of you murdered lately? Mosquito? Adultery. Being against that beautiful relationship that we talked about with Ron and Carolyn. Greed. Out of men's hearts come these things. Greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy. Anybody ever envious? Jealous of somebody else's beautiful situation when you got junk? So you think. What else comes out of a man's heart, a person's heart? Envy. Slander. Arrogance. I think that hits a lot of us. Maybe in Chapel Hill, even. That we get a little arrogance and think that we're the best. And folly comes out of a person's heart. Jesus says all these evils come from inside and make him unclean. Doesn't that sound strange that Jesus would say all of these things are coming from inside? Wouldn't you think that Jesus would say everything that I gave you inside of you is good? But he's saying something different, isn't he? The stuff that's inside of you, that's coming out of you, is bad. The stuff that's inside of you, that's coming out of you, is unclean. The stuff that's inside of you, that's coming out of you, is sinful. And so you need something. You need what we've been talking about the last few weeks in the reading from John chapter 6 that we saw a few times in a row. You need the bread of life. Bread that takes care of your hunger and your thirst. Bread that takes care of the sinful parts of your life. That now when you receive that bread of life, Jesus, you are getting your insides clean. What a beautiful thing that now our insides become clean. As we come to this meal, as we come to this church this day, as we receive God's forgiveness, as we receive the forgiveness and strengthening of faith, as we come to the table, we are getting clean. It's kind of like, well, and don't compare this too much because then I don't want you to drink gasoline. But some of the gasoline companies say, you need to get this certain gasoline. It cleans out your system. And the same thing goes for this meal. As we come, like Tommy the Bull, to the meal and feast upon Jesus, that we get clean from the inside so that what comes out of us now is also clean. What comes out of us now is different than those things that Jesus talked about, the greed, the malice, the slander, the bad things that are coming out of us. So now we're living differently because we've come to the meal, we've gotten clean, and now we're going forth and sharing the cleanness that we have in our lives that comes from Jesus. It doesn't make sense. This story is always confusing. We say it every week. Jesus died on the cross for me. He rose to life for me. It doesn't make any sense. How does that save a person? We were supposed to have the punishment. But Jesus paid the price. Made us clean. Made us clean. And that's why we want to, I don't want to say run to the table today, but we want to get up here quickly and receive that forgiveness that we get from Jesus on the cross. His very blood, His very body broken for us, His blood shed for us. We want that meal so that we're clean and can share that cleanness, that newness that we have in Christ with other people. So, as you are clean, you bring forth cleanliness. And in this case, I would say that old phrase that cleanliness is close to godliness. And as you partake of God's goodness, you then show forth God's goodness. So as you come today to feast, feast on the Lord who makes you clean, and then go forth in your new cleanness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing of this church. A place where we can come to think about our baptism, to know that we're washed clean there, and to get our baptism renewed as we come to the table, as we come to feast, as we come forth in haste, even though we're unclean, Lord, we come and receive new cleanness through you. Lord, bless us as we come to the table today to feast upon you and say, this is good, and now may I be good as I am filled with the goodness and the cleanness that comes from you, from your forgiveness, from your blood, from your body. May those things wash over us, that we are different this coming week, that we are a blessing to those around us, that we are a blessing to our community as we go forth in the cleanness of you, Lord Jesus. Bless us and guide us and lead us. In your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.